You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Romans chapter 7 and verses 14 to 25 as we continue in our series, Healing the Hurt. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to 25. Paul writes, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for that song. And I pray, Lord, today that you would just set our chains free. I pray you'd open our eyes to what addiction really is. And how much, Lord, by your mercy and by your power and by your grace and by your word, that we can be set free from it and be delivered from it. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. "Dear Annie, my wife is always playing games on her cell phone. She lies in bed in the morning playing games before she gets ready for work. When she comes home, she's on the phone when she walks through the door. When we sit down for supper, which I usually make, she plays games while we eat. At bedtime, she lies in bed with her smartphone playing until she falls asleep. If we go out, she plays games at the restaurant. Conversation begins with, 'What?' because she's so engrossed in her games. She hardly does anything around the house anymore and barely notices our son, let alone interacts with him. What is wrong with my wife? Signed, Lost in Lexington, Kentucky." What is wrong with that man's wife? You don't have to be Dr. Phil to figure that one out. Can everybody say addiction? That woman definitely has a problem. But the question is this morning, what about us? Even if it's not a video game, what is it in our lives that we can't put down and do without? Even if we don't agree that it's a problem, what is it in our lives that's taken over? And it's keeping us from fulfilling the most important responsibilities that we have to our family and to our jobs, and most of all, to God. What is an addiction? Why is it so hard to get rid of an addiction? What do those addictions do to us? And most of all, how can we be healed and delivered from those things once and for all? The text we have in front of us this morning answers those questions. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Healing the Hurt, looking at all kinds of hurts that we carry around inside of us. Hurts that just feed on each other and keep us from being the people that God has called us to be. Hurts that can all be healed by the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So far in this series, we've looked at hurts like depression and abuse, and grief and loss. And today we look at addiction, something that too many people try to use to cope with those hurts, but something that instead of healing those hurts, just ends up causing a lot more damage and a lot more pain. To understand that, we turn this morning to the best description that we have of addiction anywhere in Scripture, Romans chapter 7 and verses 14 to 25. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul tells us about that battle that is going on inside every single one of us between our spiritual nature and our sinful nature, between doing what we know is right and doing what we know is wrong. In this chapter, Paul tells us because of our sinful nature, we are helpless in that battle. We are addicted to sin, just exactly the same way that we're addicted to other kinds of sinful things too. But in these verses, Paul not only tells us exactly what addictions are, he also tells us what we need to do in order to overcome them and to have victory over them. Our text this morning, Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25, tells us three things that we need to do in order to be healed of addiction and to get well. We're going to look at this text this morning. We're going to see what these three things are. We're going to do them. And today, we're going to let Jesus Christ show us what real healing is all about. Let's look and see what the Lord wants us to know. The first thing we see from our text, the first thing that we need to do in order to be healed of addiction is we need to understand that that addiction is wrong. And that is exactly what Paul does here in this text. Notice, Paul does not cop out and just say that addiction is just the way he rolls. Or it's because the Chicago Bears aren't playing in the Super Bowl today. Or because the groundhog saw his shadow last Thursday. Verse 19, Paul says that what he struggles with is not something good. Verse 16, it is something that he shouldn't do. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, he says it is contrary to the Spirit. Verse 15, Paul says, "But I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." What does that mean? Paul understands that his addiction is wrong. And let me ask you this morning, do we understand that our addictions are wrong? What is it that we're addicted to? There's all kinds of possibilities. Work, exercise, gambling, texting, food, sex, porn, drugs, alcohol, self-injury, cutting, bulimia. I could go on and on and on. America today is filled with addiction. 37% of high school students in America right now are using some kind of illegal drug. 21% of Americans are addicted to smoking pot. Every year, Americans go through 16 tons of heroin. Half of all the guys in the body of Christ in any church in this country are addicted to internet porn. Right now, one out of every eight girls in America is either starving herself or cutting herself or both. One out of every 11 kids in America today is huffing. And I'm not talking about the big bad wolf and the three little pigs. They are sniffing gasoline and paint thinner and nail polish remover and sucking on nitrous oxide in order to get a high. Right now, one out of three Americans knows somebody or is related to somebody who is addicted to something. People, that's how big this problem is. And the questions this morning, what about us? And those addictions are everywhere. By everybody. NFL quarterback Brett Favre back in 1996 was addicted to Vicodin. The pills made him so sick he would throw up, but he was so addicted he just picked the pills out of the puke and swallow them again. Hollywood actor Daniel Radcliffe admits that he was an alcoholic all the while his Harry Potter movies were being made. Actress Heather Locklear is now in rehab again for pills and for alcohol after breaking up with her longtime boyfriend, Jack Wagner. Actress Lindsay Lohan, well, she's just addicted to everything. And the question this morning, what about us? And I know somebody's hearing this sermon today. You're saying, well, Kevin, Christians don't get addicted to anything. Oh, really? You don't have the counseling sessions that I have, do you? You work 80 plus hours a week because that's the only way that you can make yourself feel important. You fantasize and you masturbate because that's the only way that you feel loved and connected and wanted. You surf porn on the internet because after the divorce you are so crazy lonely and you miss sex with a husband. You waste time online by playing Farmville because virtual reality is a lot easier to deal with than real life. Because you eat too much, you hate the way that you look. And because you hate the way that you look, you eat too much. And the cycle just keeps going and it never stops. And you drink to stop the panic attacks and to block out the memories of the abuse and the beating and the rape and the molesting and to dull the feelings for even a little while. When the kids are at school and when your husband is at work, you drink like a rock star all day long. And then right before they come home, you slather on perfume and that cucumber melon body lotion to hide the smell. I know a brand new mother who hides her whiskey in baby bottles in the diaper bag because when people see it, they just think it's apple juice and they won't ask any questions. You put your GHB in that Visine bottle and absorb it through your eyes so that when you do it, nobody knows what you're doing. You feel so guilty, you cut yourself in places that it doesn't show when you put your clothes on. You are so depressed, you're popping Xanax and Adderall and even your kids' Ritalin tablets because, hey, just like the song says, whatever gets you through the night is all right. No, it isn't. Verse 19, Paul says that addiction is evil. Paul says in verse 17 that addiction is sin living in him. Do we realize that our addictions are wrong? Do we realize that they are sinful regardless of what the circumstances are behind those addictions? The picture you see on the screen is professional golfer John Daly. That's a mugshot after he was arrested one of the numerous times. John Daly has been an alcoholic his entire adult life. This is what he recently said in Sports Illustrated about his addiction. There's no sense in denying it that I could go out any time and drink myself to death. That alcoholism, that addiction is just in my blood. And folks, we've got to realize that that addiction is in our blood too. It's called a sinful nature. Addiction is wrong because it's idolatry. It makes food or sex or the internet or texting or Miller Genuine Draft number one in our lives instead of God. You shall have no other gods before Him. Addiction is sin because it destroys the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies don't belong to us. They belong to God. And we have no right to trash them or pollute them or do with them whatever it is that we want to do. The picture you've seen on the screen is a bumper sticker. Reality is for people that can't handle drugs. Addiction is a sin because it keeps us from facing reality. The addiction itself is not the real problem. Addiction is just an attempt to avoid dealing with the real problem. Do we understand that addiction is wrong? Do we understand that it's sinful? Addiction is sin. But instead of admitting that, people just come up with all kinds of excuses for it. And I've heard every excuse there is. Well, Pastor, yeah, I drink, but I have a genetic predisposition to alcoholism. Yeah, I do too, but I don't drink. Well, yeah, I'm using cocaine, but my mother died. My mother just passed away. My wife, Sue, her mother died. She didn't use nose candy. Well, Kevin, all guys look at porn. No, they don't. Well, Kevin said there's nothing to be ashamed of when it comes to sex. It's perfectly natural. Pornography is not wrong. Folks, the original word for porn in the Greek literally means prostitute. What does that tell you? Well, Kevin, I'm not responsible for my drinking because my alcoholism is a disease. No. My father, Robert Garner, died of a cancerous, inoperable brain tumor. My father had a disease. A disease is not something that you choose. An addiction is something that you choose every single step along the way. Don't call me, don't write me letters, don't send me any emails. Alcoholism is not a disease. Alcoholism is a sin. Well, Kevin, I had a bad childhood. I lost my mother, my father, my parents broke up. I was abused. Listen to me. Do you think you're the only one that ever got smacked around by the old man? Do you think you're the only one whose parents ever got a divorce? You think you're the only one who ever lost a mother or a father? You say, well, Kevin, you don't know my story. You don't know her story. You want to hear hers? I am not trying to minimize one bit the hell that you went through years ago, but you've got to get some perspective. Otherwise, it's just excuses. I know people who drink because they don't have a job. Other people who drink because of the job that they have. People drink because they don't have kids. They drink because they do have kids. They drink because of man-made global warming, because of the Mayan calendar, or because Chicago Bulls center Carlos Boozer can't play defense to save his soul. It's always something or somebody else's fault, isn't it? And you say, well, Kevin, I don't care what you say. What I do is not wrong. Okay, then let me ask you this. If what you do is not wrong, then why do you hide it and keep it in secret? Do we understand what happens to us when we don't admit to the things that we have hidden in our lives? The picture you see on the screen is an airport CT scan of the midsection of a drug mule, a man who tried to smuggle cocaine into Switzerland through the airport in the city of Bern last December. Now, on the outside, that man just looked like a regular, normal guy. But that airport CT scan showed that there was a problem inside. There was something inside of him that didn't belong. Drug mules like this guy are no longer trying to smuggle drugs into countries by carrying them on their bodies. They're trying to smuggle those drugs into the countries by carrying them inside their bodies. This man took portions of cocaine, wrapped them in sections of a rubber glove, soaked them in vegetable oil, and then swallowed them, expecting, of course, to retrieve them when it came out later. Now, what that man did was very dangerous, because if any one of those cocaine packets had busted open or exploded, which they could have very easily done on an airplane, that man would have died. Folks, we've got to realize exactly the same thing is true with addictions in our lives. On the outside, we can look very good and very normal and very regular. But on the inside, there's a problem. There's something there that doesn't belong. And even if that addiction doesn't show up on an airport CT scan, God has a very special, supernatural, full-body scan that reveals absolutely everything. It's called the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. The Holy Spirit searches even the heart, so that nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Maybe there is nobody else in your life that has any clue about that addiction that you're carrying around inside of yourself. Your parents, your kids, your spouse, your friends, your coworkers. But you know what? God knows it's there. And so do you. And there's no excusing it, and there's no explaining it away. And one of these days, if you don't confess it, and if you don't get delivered from it, it's going to come out. Your sin will find you out, and it's going to blow up in your face, and it's going to destroy you. Right now, while there is still time, stop making the excuses and start being responsible for your actions. You cannot be delivered from something if you do not admit that it's there. The first thing that we need to do in order to be healed of addiction is we need to understand that it's wrong. We go on in this text and we see something else, a second thing that we need to do in order to be healed of addiction. We not only need to understand that it's wrong, we also need to understand that we have no power to stop it. Addiction means you can't stop. And that is exactly what Paul tells us here. Verse 19, the evil I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. No matter what, no matter how hard he tried, no matter how often he ate his Wheaties or took his Flintstone vitamins, Paul couldn't quit sinning. Even though he wanted to, he couldn't quit. Because verse 14, he says, he is enslaved to it. Sold out, lock, stock, and barrel. Folks, do we realize that we're in the same situation? Do we realize that we are enslaved to our addictions and that we are absolutely powerless in and of ourselves to stop it? Now, maybe you can slow it down for a while. Maybe you can stop it once in a while for a little bit, but if you're not truly delivered from those addictions, they're just going to crawl away in the shadows and bide their time and wait for exactly the right moment to jump you again. That's why addicts like Steven Tyler and Robin Williams go in and out of rehab like a revolving door. You can't just stop drinking. You can't just in and of yourself stop using drugs, because those things have become your life. That addiction is what you do. That is your lifestyle, and your entire life revolves around it. Not just because you're physically dependent on it, but because you become psychologically dependent on that addiction. That addiction is your escape. That's your relief. That's how you calm and comfort yourself. That's where your sense of peace and power and security comes from. And even though it isn't real, even though it's fake, that's your stronghold. So even though you know it's wrong, and even if you're ashamed of it, and even if you hate it, even if that drinking is something that your old man did and you hated it so much you swore that you would never do yourself, you want the addiction more than you want to quit. And you say, well, I could give that up anytime I wanted to. But that's a lie, because you can't imagine your life without it. And if you did give that up, you would feel like you had absolutely nothing left. Listen to me, you can't just say no, because deep down inside, you don't want to. You see how powerless you are? Get out of that addiction on your own. There's other people listening to this sermon this morning. You know somebody or you love somebody who is addicted. Do you understand that you are powerless to make that person change? You can cry, you can beg, you can threaten, you can try to talk sense into them, you can talk to them till they are blue in the face. Chances are they are not going to change, because when push comes to shove, they care more about the addiction than they care about you or God or their family, or losing their job, or anything else. Listen to me. No matter what you do, you can't fix them. You say, well, Kevin, what are we supposed to do then with people who are addicted? Well, first of all, you can stop making excuses for them, which is the biggest thing that people want to do. Stop making excuses for them. Well, she's using again, but she's going through a really rough time. No, she's causing the rough time by her addiction. Well, he's under a lot of stress right now. Who isn't? Well, my son, he could always go to counseling. Counseling only works for people who want it to. Well, if it wasn't for the cocaine and the heroin and the drinking, he's a really nice guy. Well, yeah, and if it wasn't for murdering and dismembering and eating 31 other human beings, Jeffrey Dahmer was a really nice guy. What's the deal? Quit making excuses for them. If you really want to help somebody who's addicted, don't cover for them. Don't lie for them. Don't make excuses for them. Don't call in sick for them. Don't enable them. Let them suffer the consequences of that bad addictive behavior. And for heaven's sakes, whatever you do, don't loan them any money. Because addicts are the best liars in the entire world. And they will play you like a banjo. And they'll take that money and just use it to feed that addiction. The best thing that you can do for somebody who's addicted to something is to pray for them. Because ultimately, addiction is a spiritual battle. Pray for them. Pray that that God opens their heart. Pray that they listen when the Lord speaks to them. Pray that they hit bottom. Pray that they live long enough to hit bottom. Which means they realize that facing up to their problem is not the worst thing that can happen to them. Because believe me, there are worse things that can happen to them. You're sitting in this room this morning, you're listening to this message, you've got an addiction in your life. Do you have any idea what that addiction is doing to you? It's true with drugs, it's true with alcohol, it's true with porn. That first high absolutely rocks your world. But then every high after that just gets weaker and weaker and weaker. So the devil hooks you into chasing the dragon, to buying more and using more and doing more and more and more for less and less and less in return. He gets you addicted, totally enslaved to something that absolutely will not and cannot satisfy you. Do you see how the devil lies to you? Do you see how he plays you? You think that all the drinking and all the drugging and all the cutting on yourself is somehow going to make you have control over all things. But you don't realize those things are actually controlling you. And they're making your problem even worse. And they're making you even more depressed. And they're making you even more ashamed. Do you have any idea what that addiction is doing to you? There's people listening to this message right now. That addiction is wearing you out. Because you're tired of it. You're tired of living in a fog. You're tired of the bondage. You're tired of riding a bicycle back and forth to work because your DUI has cost you your driver's license. You're tired of watching your wife cry her eyes out when she finds out that you've looked at pornography again. You're tired of all the promises that you've broken. All the jobs that you lost. All the cars that you wrecked. All the money that you wasted. All the time that you let slide by. You're tired of all the birthdays and the holidays that you missed and special people in their lives because you were off getting high somewhere. You're tired of being humiliated. Tired of cheapening yourself, selling your body to strange men for hits on a crack pipe. Do you understand what that addiction has done to you? Do you understand what that addiction is doing to you physically? I know meth addicts, once they get high, they don't sleep for 15 days. I was in a counseling session with a 14-year-old girl one time who was so into cutting, she had taken a razor blade and hollowed out a pouch inside of her mouth and her cheek. That's where she hid the razor blade from her parents. The picture you see on the screen is a 35-year-old woman, late-stage alcoholic. 35 years old. She's got a late-stage alcoholic condition called body rot. She has drank so much alcohol that it is literally rotting through her tissues. Her body can't deal with it anymore. She is literally hemorrhaging and bleeding out. That woman you see in the picture, she is dying. It's too late for her. The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy, and you're seeing it right there. You're listening to this word this morning, you've got an addiction in your life, drugs or alcohol, and you have no intention of giving it up. From the bottom of my heart, with all the love I can muster, I want to tell you, take a look at that picture, because that's your future. Addiction leads to only one thing, and that's death. And I know there's somebody listening to me this morning, you're saying, Kevin, nothing like that's ever going to happen to me. Yeah? That's what she said. The poor people who deny it the most are the ones who are addicted the most. Do we have any idea the dangerous, desperate, helpless, powerless situation that you are in because of your addiction? Last November, a farmer named Russell Anderson from Athens, Georgia, put out some traps to try to catch some wolves that have been attacking his cattle. But the only thing he caught was what you see there in the picture. A neighbor's mixed breed dog who wandered onto Russell Johnson's property and got trapped by mistake. Now, it was the dog's fault. Had no business being in Russell Anderson's field. Got himself trapped and it hurt like the devil. And he absolutely could not get himself out. Absolutely helpless and powerless to free himself from that trap. And he knew it. So he just sat there howling. Russell Anderson took a picture of it. Now, Russell Anderson tried to get that animal out. He tried to set that dog free. But that dog was so scared and he was hurting so much, he wouldn't let Russell Anderson even get close to him because that dog was afraid that Russell Anderson was just going to hurt him even more. If that dog didn't have somebody help him get out of that trap, that dog was going to die where he was. But he wouldn't let Russell Anderson get within 10 feet of him, snapping at him and biting him. Now, all that dog's owners were out of the country at the time, so it took Russell Anderson 2 days of coaxing to get that dog to the point where that dog would let him touch him and open that trap and set him free. You're sitting in this church this morning, you're listening to this message. Because of your addiction, you're in exactly the same situation that that dog is. It was your fault. You got tempted into doing something that you had no business doing. And now you are trapped in an addiction that you can't get out of. And it's hurting you. And if you don't get out of that trap, you're going to die where you're at. If you don't let somebody help you get out, you're going to die there. You're helpless and you're powerless. Do you understand how desperate and how helpless and how powerless your situation is? But folks, listen to me. Regardless of the condition that you're in, there is somebody out there who wants to help you. There is somebody out there who's trying to set you free, and his name is Jesus Christ. And all up to this point in your life, you wanted nothing to do with the Lord. You don't want anything to do with Him now. You lash out at Him, even the thought of Him, because you've got this idea in your head that Jesus just wants to hurt you even more, and that's not true. Well, Kevin, He just wants to condemn me. No! Jesus wants to be the God and the friend that you have always been looking for your entire life. All you need to do is open up to Him. Well, Kevin, He'll tell me that I'm a loser. He'll find out how bad I really am. He already knows who you are. He already knows about that addiction. And He loves you anyway. Well, Kevin, Jesus just wants to control me. Listen to me. You're already being controlled by the devil and by your addiction. How's that working out for you? Well, Kevin, I failed Him so many times. He's got to hate me. He doesn't hate you. He hates what you do. And He hates the addiction, and He hates what that addiction is doing to your life and all the good relationships that He's blessed you with, but He doesn't hate you. He loves you. And He wants to forgive you. And He knows exactly like you do that if you stay in that trap, if you don't get out of that addiction, you're going to die there. Listen to me this morning. Jesus does not want to hurt you. He wants to heal you. And all you need to do is admit that you're powerless. Let Him come close to you. Let Him touch you, and He will set you free. Until we understand how powerless we are, we will never understand how powerful He is. The second thing that we need to do in order to be healed of addiction is we need to admit that we're powerless to stop. Third thing we see in this text, the third thing that we need to do in order to be healed of addiction, we not only need to understand that it's wrong, we not only need to understand that we're powerless to stop it, but third, we need to trust Jesus Christ to deliver us from it. And that is exactly what Paul does here. Verses 24 and 25, Paul asks, "Who will rescue me from this body of death? Praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, when you hit bottom, that bottom is a solid rock, and His name is Jesus. And the question is this morning, do you trust Him to do that for you? The most popular addiction treatment program in the history of the whole wide world is Alcoholics Anonymous. And there was a time when even AA focused on Jesus. When that first Alcoholics Anonymous pamphlet was published in 1944, this is what step number 3 included in the 12 steps. Listen to this. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to be under new management, and I ask you to guide and direct me. I have decided to turn my will and my life over to you, to serve you, and to dedicate my life to you. I ask all this in your name, Jesus Christ. Wow. But see, today, AA has replaced Jesus Christ with higher power, which could mean absolutely anything. Wrigley Field, a Little Caesar's pizza, the doorknob, Khloe Kardashian's baby, any higher power that floats your boat. Now, AA and other groups do teach accountability and some good skills for recovery, but just remember, recovery groups may really help you, but only Jesus Christ can really heal you. Jesus doesn't just want you sober, He wants you forgiven. He wants you saved. He wants you made completely whole. In order to be truly delivered, you don't just need to change your life. You need a whole brand new life. And only Jesus Christ can give you that. And why is that? Because only Jesus Christ has the power to truly set you free. That addiction in your life is a work of the devil. But praise God, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the reason Jesus Christ appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And how did He do that? 2,000 years ago, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, Jesus Christ rounded up all the authorities and the principalities and the powers of the devil and his posse, nailed them to the cross, and then gave them a smackdown by dying and rising from the dead. When Jesus Christ did that, He gave all the power that we need to be delivered. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 tells us that because of the cross, sin has been rendered powerless over us. Folks, if you are in Christ, we have that power that blew the doors off the tomb and raised Jesus Christ from the dead. If you are in Christ, that addiction doesn't have any power over you. You have power over that addiction. Are you using that power to say no to temptation? Are you using that power to be healed from addiction? Jesus Christ can deliver us because of the Word that He gives us, because of the truth that we find in the Word that He gives us. That addiction in your life is a stronghold. And the Bible tells us that all strongholds are the result of wrong thinking. Over and over again. When you get addicted, the devil isolates you. And he starts telling you things. And you start telling yourself things that are all negative, that are all lies. Things that just make the addiction worse. Things that just keep feeding the addiction. AA calls that stinking thinking. Folks, we need to identify those lies, speak truth to them from God's Word, start believing that truth, and start changing the way we think. Because when we change the way we think, we will change the way we live, and when we change the way we live, the addictions go. Are we doing that? Are we countering those lies with the truth from God's Word? Listen to me, if you are in Christ, you are not a pervert. You are not a drug addict. You are not an alcoholic. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, you are more than conquerors. Because of that addiction, God does not hate you and He does not condemn you. Because Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, for those who are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. The devil tells you you're never going to be able to stop drinking. You're never going to be able to stop using drugs. You're never going to be able to stop using porn. But folks, that's not true. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The devil tells you you're never going to be able to stand against temptation. You are never going to have the power to say no to him and what he tempts you to do. But that's a lie, because James chapter 4 verse 7 says, if you draw near to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. You do not have to use drugs. You do not have to look at porn. You don't have to smoke pot in order to have peace, because Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14 says, Jesus Christ himself is our peace. You do not have to drink. You do not have to get drunk. Because Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 says, instead of being filled with hooch, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And everybody knows there ain't no high like the Most High. What is it that sets us free? John chapter 8 verse 32, it's the truth. The truth of Jesus Christ sets us free. And listen to me, you need to keep claiming that. Because victory over addiction isn't a one and done. It's not a one-time thing. I have been in ministry for 31 years. And in those 31 years, I know a grand total of 2 people who are instantly healed by God of addiction. God usually takes the longer route. Because when you're addicted, you learn a lot of bad behavior. And it takes time and it takes hard work to unlearn that behavior. To learn how to be responsible for your own actions. To learn how to make a relationship work. to learn how to handle stress, to learn how to live all over again. God's healing takes time. And when God is doing a work in your life, you just have to wait until He's finished. Let me ask you this morning, do you want that? Do you want to be healed? Would you like to get well from addiction? Are you tired of it? Are you tired of being ashamed? Are you tired of letting that addiction destroy you and your life and your calling and all the people around you? If you are, then I've got a suggestion for you. Just stop. Just quit doing it. Because Jesus Christ has given you the power to do that. For crying out loud, enough is enough. Take that sin of the cross. Take the sword of the Spirit. Renew your mind. Fight that battle and tear down that addiction, that stronghold addiction in your life. Because Romans chapter 6 verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. And I know you're listening to me this morning. You say, Kevin, does Jesus really do things like that? Can Jesus Christ really set me free from addiction? Folks, I've got living, breathing proof in this church this morning that He does. And it's sitting right over here. Larry, could you stand up? Come out here in the middle so everybody can see you. This is Larry McClymans, in case anybody doesn't know. He leads a men's recovery group here at Fox River on Saturday nights. And Larry is qualified to do this because the Lord healed him of an addiction earlier on in his life. And just for the record, we're not talking about Larry McClymans' past sins today in order to glorify Satan. His sins don't smell any worse than ours do. It's just that sometimes you need to see the ugliness of sin in order to appreciate the beauty of the Lord. Larry started drinking when he was about 15 or 16 years old. He did it just to be cool, started doing it with his friends. And he was a preacher's kid. He knew that it was wrong. But when he started drinking, it gave him such a buzz and had such an effect on him, it grabbed him right away. And it took him 16 years to give it up. Larry McClymans drank for 16 years. And he paid a price for it because sin always, always, always cost you. For him, it was the bondage. Having to drink every single day, morning and night. Not being able to function real well with it, not being able to function real well without it. Never lost a job, never got fired because of it. But even though he knew what he was doing was wrong, he couldn't stop. Eventually ended up with a couple of DUIs, had to have people drive him back and forth to work, take him places. You would think that knowing that you needed your driver's license to do your job, that should have been motivation enough to quit. But it wasn't, because he couldn't quit. He couldn't stop. Finally, it took a family intervention with his wife threatening to leave and take the kids and his parents threatening not to rent him farm ground anymore. That's what got him to stop. But see, stopping the drinking doesn't stop all the problems. Because all those old alcoholic lifestyle patterns are still there. When you get addicted, you stop maturing. And you start lying and keeping things secret. You start using people. You get really selfish. You get really self-centered. And just because the drinking stops, that doesn't stop. You've got to learn after you stop drinking, if you want to really get delivered, to grow up and to make those changes. Nothing excuses you from doing the hard work of getting well. Now, Larry got a lot of good tools from AA, a lot of good tools from the 12-step programs. Jesus Christ even came to him and said, here's my word. Here's the tools you need for recovery right here in the Bible. Now get to work. And Larry started in, but those problems didn't get corrected like they should have. And it cost him his first wife and his first marriage. But then Larry McClymans told me that he did something that absolutely transformed his life. He totally and completely surrendered everything to Jesus Christ. And when that happened, the Lord came closer to him than Larry had ever experienced before in his entire life. Larry knew Jesus since the time that he was a kid, but never this way. And all the while Larry McClymans was going through the recovery, all the while he was working on the changes, Jesus Christ never rubbed his nose in it. He never threw his sins back in his face. He never condemned him. He just showed him unwavering and unconditional love. Just kept giving him the strength and the grace over and over and over again to make those changes. He had a deeper relationship with Christ than he never knew before. He found out that Jesus really did love him and was concerned and cared about every single area, every single detail of his life. And the Lord is still working on him to making him the person that God originally called him to be. Now, there are people in Larry McClymans' life still who do not believe that he's really changed. But all you need to do is look at the way that this man lives. And you'll find out, this is a trophy of grace. This is a trophy of God. And you know what? God not only did that for him, God also restored what the locusts had eaten. Larry McClyman's lost a lot because of his drinking and because of his alcoholism. But look how the Lord restored it back to him. Larry's got a ministry now, helping to deliver other people from the same thing that the Lord brought him through. The Lord's used him to lead Bible studies, to lead all kinds of sessions with other guys, to tell them that there is victory in Jesus Christ. Larry gets to farm again, which is the love of his life and the joy of his heart. He's got a whole boatload of relatives and family members that worship with him in this congregation every Sunday morning. He's got a brand new grandbaby on the way, and he's got a beautiful new wife that runs a donut shop. What could be better? People, God is good. And why did all this happen? I'll tell you why. It's not willpower, it's Holy Spirit power. Larry McClyman's did not do that. God did that. John chapter 8, verse 36, those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. And listen to me, if God did that for Larry McClyman's, he'll do it for you. Because God is no respecter of persons. And the Holy Spirit is asking you this morning to make a decision. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the devil and that addiction that is destroying you and leading you to death? Or do you want to serve Jesus Christ, who loves you, who wants to set you free and give you life? Your addiction started with a choice. Today, right here, right now, it can end with a choice. You know what you have to do. Right here, right now, you just need to do it. Today, you come to Christ. If you're in this service and the Lord is speaking to your heart and you want to get up out of your seat right now and come forward, we'll take that addiction to the Lord. I will stop this service on a dime, and we will do that. If you want to get out of your seat, come up and do that right now. Otherwise, stay in your seat and pray this prayer with me. Lord God, I just thank you for the power that you have. I just thank you, Lord, that you are more powerful than sin and bondage and addiction. And Lord, I just come to you. I just want to surrender everything I am and everything I have to you. Lord, I just trust that you died on the cross to save me from my sins. Lord, you pay the price for my sins. Right now, I receive you into my heart. I'm sorry for those things that I've done. I'm sorry for this addiction, and I turn it over to you. And maybe there's Christians listening to this word today. Just come back to the Lord today. You completely, again, surrender to him and everything you are and everything you have, and he will start that healing process in you. Lord God, just thank you so much for freedom. Thank you so much for deliverance. Set us free. All this we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.